So we're live now, and we're recording the meetings, and it's good to be back. We had a handout on some things I put together, big book goals, the process of recovery, the disease concept of alcoholism, and tonight we're going to finish this handout. I was thinking of reviewing, but I'm afraid they'll kill me because we did it 2 weeks in a row. So yeah, Ashley said no. All right, stop it. See, people are listening. They don't get your sense of humor. And now they're not going to like me or come back. So we did go through the Oxford Group tenets, and they had six steps, which you meet in 12. And we're looking at the how we change. We come to AA because our lives are a mess. Anybody have that problem? Things were a mess, and something had to change. Now, to be honest, I knew I had to change, but I thought they had to change too. Anybody get that? That was a joke. But I have to change, and this chart we have here is something that Joe and Charlie talked about that seems so simple, but I didn't understand it. And they were able to put this together, that the dominoes of change. And I'm just going to read a little bit of the statement that's on this page. This is from the book, The Steps We Took, which I highly recommend that everybody get and study and read. And if you're sponsoring or getting sponsored, read it. Read it in addition to the big book. It's by Joe McHugh from the Big Book Study Group, Joe and Charlie. And it's very well written, and we've gotten a lot out of it. It's covered on the site. I've covered the book, and there are podcasts that cover the whole book. He says, I think the very first step, surrender, we start to get it. And he talks about truth, seeing the truth. And the person has to really examine his perception of the truth and do it frequently. And that's what we need to do when we come in. We look at our story and see the truth of it. And it's just a story in our head. Grady wants me to pass the basket, so there you go. I talked about the first surrender. Bill W. describes it on page 8. He says, no words can tell of the loneliness and despair I found in that bitter morass of self-pity. Quicksand stretched around me in all directions. I had met my match. I'd been overwhelmed. Alcohol was my master. Anybody relate to that? So Bill didn't wake up that day and say, I'm surrendered. And he said in the line before that, and he's in the hospital, and his wife is talking to Dr. Silkworth, and they're describing how he's just going to go in and either go insane or be admitted to the asylum, that there's no hope for him. He writes, I who thought so well of myself, anybody relate to that? And my abilities, of my capacity to surmount obstacles, was cornered at last. And I think that's a good way of describing the initial surrender. We're cornered. We're done. Alcohol, we're surrounded by quicksand. And so a lot of people think the first surrender, you choose to surrender. I believe I was surrendered. I recall the moment of my defeat, and it wasn't a choice. I was done. Now, of course, I could have gone on, but I could see the truth. I could see the truth, and for some reason, God came into me, into my heart and my mind, and I could see that I was done. And I felt a sense of relief, and I asked God to help me. I just couldn't go on, and I was surrounded. Now, I believe that complete surrender by God, helping me see the truth, wasn't voluntarily done prior to that. It happened at that moment. I was done. Anybody relate to that? And somehow, and that says, I was constitutionally capable of being honest with myself, that I only had two choices, go on to the bitter end and die, or seek spiritual help. And then I sought spiritual help. And I believe some people think they choose to surrender, and they've surrendered, but I don't know if it's been the complete defeat that's required to give up completely on oneself. We're going to read about that in the second step proposition, but the Henry Thiebault, which was the famous psychiatrist who was went to AA meetings in 1939 in New York, he said that we are narcissistic personalities, and that for us to give up on our omnipotence is a major, major thing for an alcoholic. And I think we do that when we're completely defeated. So I've seen a lot of people have told me they were surrendered, but they surrendered, but then they didn't want to do anything. And I think the complete defeat is the first domino that makes you completely willing to go to any length. And what is any length? Whatever it takes, right, Mark? And that complete defeat drives you, and that Father Leo talked about, you want to keep that moment alive. You never want to forget what it's like. And he says that's the one thing that going to AA and going to meetings does, is it keeps that moment alive. You come in here, you know you need part of the fellowship, and we like seeing each other, right? And we all said we were alcoholic, right? In fact, we didn't introduce ourselves, did we? I screwed up. All right, well, I'm on probation. We'll do that next time. But we say we're alcoholic, and we come here because we know we're powerless, and we need to be helped by God and other people. And to me, that keeps the moment alive. And he says, if you don't keep that moment alive, you're going to repeat it. And so I think we get the grace of our initial complete surrender, but then if we don't do anything about it, the ego rebuilds. So the complete surrender drives us to take the action, but our ego's rebuilding, so you have to stay ahead of it. And you have to stay ahead of it by seeking God and getting help and working with someone and moving forward. That's why I think it's very dangerous when you get sober and you don't have God in your life, because then you just have the disease sober. Because if you don't have a relationship with God, you don't have the power yet. And you haven't changed. So this is the process of change, these five dominoes. And the surrender produces the power of believing. When you completely give up on yourself, then you're willing to believe that there's a different way. And so I asked God to help me, and then I went to AA. I knew they had something I didn't have. And then I met God put people in my life, so many of them. And so he says this, there's no way you can see or believe the truth until you surrendered your old perception of the truth. And that's when you're open, your willingness, honesty, open-minded. Remember, we talk about that? And change actually begins with surrender, because you can't see another alternative until you surrender your way. Until you give up your game plan of living, like Sandy Beach says. If you haven't listened to him, he did these Saturday morning live talks, and they're on, you can get them on the internet, and he does each step a week, and he spends 20 minutes each time on the first step. And he says, if you're not gonna do our game plan for living that's in AA till you give up your game plan. And remember, it says we have to let go of our old ideas completely, right? And if we haven't given up our old ideas that we have any way of fixing this, then the result's is nil. Because then we do half measures, which get us nothing. In fact, I think we should have half measures meetings. And when you're working with somebody and they don't want to do it, you should send them to the half measures meeting and see how many one-year coins they give away. I'm in a mood today. I don't know if I'm funny or not, but anyway. And so you have to be able to surrender your way of seeing things. You have to be willing to see things differently. And so the dominoes It's like a row of dominoes. You push over the first one, it knocks the second one, and it knocks the third one, and there's more energy. So the energy really comes from the willingness. And so I see people who are fighting it, I try to help them, and they're not completely defeated. How do you know if you've really done the first step? You're on your fourth step. It doesn't take long once you've admit your powers over alcohol and your life's unmanageable to believe that there's a power that can help you. You see it in the rooms. And then how long does it decide that you're not going to play God anymore? It doesn't take a long time. When you see that you managing your life is never going to work, and they help you out with those few pages 60 to 63. And so all the energy comes from this first step, and every time we take the first step again, we generate the energy all over again. And people who came tonight are taking the first step, or they wouldn't have come to the meeting. You know, they wouldn't have seen a reason to come here tonight. And so you have willingness as the first domino, and how do you become complete willing? Pain, suffering, humiliation, defeat. And remember, it says complete willingness, right, Stu, and essential willingness, right? Willingness is essential if you're going to do this, and you have to have complete willingness. And you have to be 100% willing. And then you believe that there is a power that can relieve your insanity and give you a power not to drink and a power to manage your life. And that's, you get that, you take that on page 47. It says, do you believe, or are you willing to believe that there's a power greater than yourself? It says, as soon as you do believe or willing to believe, then you put your cornerstone in place and you're on your road. You're building an arch to freedom. And then you make a decision as the third domino. And the decision you make is very simple. I'm going to stop playing God. Why? It doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? I'm not God. And I can't go on that way anymore. And it says, it's simple idea, right? But once you've decided to do that, you're putting the keystone in the arch to which you will walk to freedom. So the foundation of the arch we're building, and we have that picture, and we went through it, and I did a talk on that I put out on the site recently, building the arch through which we walk a free man. The foundation's willingness. And if remember, if your foundation's built on sand, it's not going to stand, right? So it has to be built on rock. And then the cornerstone is believing that there's a power that can save you and help you, and then making a decision to let that power direct your life in step three. And then you take the actions, and then you get results. Now, action without, if you make a decision without action, then you're living in fantasy. There are a lot of people who do steps, they call steps 1, 2, 3 the AA waltz. 1, 2, 3 drink. 1, 2, 3 drink, because nothing's changed. If you want to change, you're willing to change, right? You believe you can change because you see it in the rooms and you decide to change, but you haven't changed. It's like the three birds on the tree branch who've decided to fly south. So, but they're still on the branch. You know, they haven't done anything. They haven't taken the action yet. So the action's really important. Now that gets confusing too, because what action leads to the results that produce faith? And it's changed over the years. The action now is go to meetings. I heard last week that there are three words that are describe AA. They're essential for recovery: meetings, meetings, meetings. And I was thinking God, God, God. And meetings are important, but they won't produce the change in your personality. I don't believe. They didn't work for me to produce the change, not till I started doing the steps. The meetings are very important, and we talked about how the old timer was somebody, old member was someone who had worked the steps, and then they would take the new person and they would make them willing and believe and make a decision, and then they would pick up the kit of spiritual tools, and then they would become an old member. So an old member is just someone who's worked the steps, and then they take the new person. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what they did in the originally. Nowadays, AA's changed. Things have changed. I'm not saying it's good or bad. But I believe, I heard it said, I mentioned it today to poor Jim. He had to listen to me for an hour, and then I had to leave. He listened to Grady for another hour, and you're still sober, right, Jim? There you go. Good boy. What was I talking about? I can't even remember now. Anyway, if you do everything and how it works and into action, and you keep doing it, you'll never drink again. I really believe that. How it works is step 3 and into action through 11. And if you do everything in there and you keep doing it every day, because we do 3 through 11 every day, you won't drink. I believe there's some truth to that. And it doesn't say you have to do it perfectly. Just do it the best you can and give it the best effort all the time. So I think the action that produces the result, and the result you want is to be able to trust and rely on God. And you want to have this relationship with God, and that's what faith is in AA. Faith is a little bit different in AA, maybe than in Scripture, but in Scripture they talk about belief and faith, and they interchange them a lot. In AA, the big book, when they talk about faith, they're talking about trust and knowledge of God. And we start out as agnostic. We don't know God. We believe and can pray and can memorize the Bible, but yet get in our cars every morning and direct the show. Anybody do that? And when I direct the show, God's not in charge. And I did it subconsciously. I didn't even realize it. Did anybody else do that? Anybody realize? I didn't come in AA and say, boy, I've been playing God for all these years. What a mistake. No, I didn't know that. But I knew my life was unmanageable. And so that's how these dominoes fit. And this is the process of change. And that it's simple if you want to change anything. They talk about Columbus in the big book, and agnostics, Columbus believed. And Joe and Charlie talk about him as an example of somebody who was willing to go west to go east, even though they told him the end of the world, right? And then he believed he could do it, and he got a woman to pay for it all. So they said he was a real alcoholic. And then he made a decision to go, but he wasn't quite sure. So he put there were 3 boats. He was on the last boat, and then he put the special seeing guy on the first boat to see the end of the world so he could turn around. He wasn't stupid. He was an alcoholic. But when he got to the land, he knew it was true. Now, he didn't know where he was. And he didn't know, what did Joe and Charlie say? He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know where he got to, and a woman paid for it all. And I think I got that wrong, but nobody laughed, but anyway. But he made the decision. When he hit land, he went back. He knew, he had faith. He knew that there was land. That's a great example of that. So that's something we talk about, but I thought that's a good graph. I beat that one to death. These are the arches that we talked about on the next 2 pictures. The arch through which we walk a free man, and willingness, believing, keystone, and then step 12 is faith. Now, if you put the keystone in, but you don't have any other stones, you're not going to have an arch. And then you want to stay through the arch with step 10 and 11 every day, and that's what this handout is, which is the world of the alcoholism, the arch to freedom, and then where we live in the world of the spirit. On page 84 it says we've entered the world of the spirit. Now how do you stay with God? 10 and 11, and then working with others and practicing the principles in all of our affairs. Now here's a picture. This is really a good one. This is a bridge, and over here is the shore of reason, and over here is the shore of faith. And it says, over the bridge of reason toward the desired sure faith. And Stu's going to find out what page in We Agnostics it's on. But we're over here, and our lives are a mess. And then we believe, and we take steps one and two. And then we make a decision on step three. So we haven't walked on the bridge yet. You see, we're getting ready to leave the shore of reason. And then we take the actions of 4 through 10, and the results, we're in 11. We have conscious contact, and we seek to improve it every day. And then we walk to the shore of free man. And then we stay there. So we cross through. And this is, our will is over here. And we're going to give up our will, so we go to God's will. You get it? Does that make sense? And then it says that we were afraid. What page?
53.
Page 53, see. Stu will take over when I can't do it anymore. It says, when we became alcoholics, anybody here an alcoholic? When did you become an alcoholic? Well, they tell you. When you're crushed by a self-imposed crisis, you cannot postpone or evade. That's why I was talking about that complete surrender. You're crushed by the crisis. You can't postpone or evade it anymore. It's there. We had to fearlessly face the question that God is either everything or he's nothing. God either is or he isn't. What is our choice to be? And then arrived at this point, we're squarely confronted with the question of faith. We couldn't duck the issue. Some of us had already walked far over the bridge of reason towards the desired shore of faith. And so and it says the outlines and promise of the new land brought luster to tired eyes and fresh courage to flagging spirits. Friendly hands had stretched out welcome. We were grateful that reason had brought us so far, but reason's only going to bring you so far. But somehow we couldn't quite step ashore. I see that a lot. People, they're just not ready to do it. They're just not ready to do it. They fight it. And I ask them, well, who told you you didn't need to do this? And they say, I did. I said, well, maybe you need to stop listening to that person. Because, you know, who's the person that told you to get a drink? The same person's going to tell you don't need to do the fourth step, or you don't need to go to meetings, or you don't need to get a sponsor. You see what I mean? And that's a bad source of information. And said, friendly hands had stretched out and welcome. But somehow we couldn't quite step ashore. Why? We couldn't let go of our old ideas. And that's what they're talking about here, We Agnostics. Perhaps we had been leaning too heavily on reason, that last smile. We did not like to lose our support. We didn't want to give up on ourselves, abandon ourselves completely. So I don't know if this is helpful, but it makes sense to me. And then here on the next page, is this personality chart. And he's talking here about how some people go on diets. Anybody ever go on a diet? And they have to eat these salads and vegetables and low-calorie stuff. What you really like is the other stuff, but you don't like what it's doing to you. And as you work, and we're talking about your character defects here, as you work against yourself, as you stop eating what you want to eat and start eating what you don't want to eat, you're going to see some changes in your body. And then you're going to keep wanting to do that. So as your body begins to change and you start losing weight, you think better about yourself. You get self-esteem. And that's how we build self-esteem in AA, is by doing esteemable acts, practicing God's character. And you can do things you couldn't do before, and your relationships get better. And then they tell them that the food that they didn't like, they begin to like. And they don't even want the things they used to anymore. Those new foods have become a part of their way of life. And he says the same thing happens in our personality. We have to get rid of the things, the old things, and start practicing the new. And Joe and Charlie, when I listened to them on 6 and 7, it's only about 16 minutes, but it was such a powerful analysis of it the first time I listened to it. And I'd been going to meetings for several years, but not a lot of discussions of 6 and 7 at meetings. I practiced my self-centered character, and we have the cards, and that's what we're talking about. I practiced the left-hand side, and I was good at it. Anybody good at being self-centered? Anybody good at being inconsiderate and prideful and greedy and impatient, intolerant, resentful? And we have to get rid of that and practice the new. And when these new things, and they show this, there's a chart here for those who are on Zoom, and they have shortcomings on one side and defects of character on the other. And as you practice less your shortcomings and less your defects of character and more of your shortcomings, your life gets better. And I said it before, and I'll say it again, you are what you practice. And your day, each day, reflects what you practice. When you have more love, tolerance, and patience, you begin to have more people in your lives and fewer problems with people. And as you get more courage, you can do things you couldn't do before, and your self-esteem grows. So if you want to feel self-esteem in AA, it's by practicing God's character, trying to live a spiritual life. And the more you do it, the better you feel about yourself. And before, we used to feel good about ourselves through negative actions. We used to have resentments to feel good about ourselves, and then we harm people, we use people. And it says, as we practice the steps, we see powerful changes taking place in lives. He says, I look at the battles that go on in life, and I look at the resentments and fears, guilt and remorse, and how these things block me from God. Do they block you from God? They can block me from God today. Then I look at love, tolerance, patience, courage, and wisdom. These qualities have come from God, and they're always within us. I believe that. But I block them out by making myself God. In outer and inner conflicts, we can see the powers of self combating the powers of God. Now that's in Scripture. It's, you know, the whole book of Romans, the battle between the spirit and the flesh. And it goes on. We're always going to battle that. But we want to try to practice God's character with God's power. So 6 and 7 is, how am I going to use this new power so that I can practice his character? So I have to be willing to stop practicing and letting go, and God will help me practice the opposite. And when we look at the powers of God, we recognize they're powerful tools. We've not been using them because I was living on resentment, traveling on resentment, fears, guilt, and remorse. Yet all people have these powers from God, powers for good in their personalities. God put these in each person. These powers, these awesome forces, are right within us. It says in the big book, deep down inside of every man and woman is the fundamental idea of God, but we block them out by worship of pomp, of ourselves, of other things. And then it says, in the final analysis, only there can he be found. When we stripped away everything we've built through our self-centered character, then we see the character of God. And that's what you do in your 4th and 5th step. And they asked Michelangelo how he did the Statue of David, which is 25 feet tall. It's huge. I've seen it. It's in Florence. It's huge. And you can imagine the marble. And then he's hammering and chiseling. And he said it was pretty simple. I just chipped away everything that wasn't David. And that's what we do in the steps. We're getting rid of all the stuff that isn't the real person God created. And do I want to hang on to my character defects? Well, then ask yourself, how's that working for you? Or do I want to practice the opposite? And if you're disturbed today, or if you're disturbed right now, if I'm disturbing you, you're over on the left-hand side. Give me a break. Let go of it. You see? And so if I'm disturbed, I'm back in self. And if I'm undisturbed, I'm with God. And I like being undisturbed. I like feeling okay. Then on the next page, and we're almost done, I'm killing you guys. And he's continuing, this is the next page. There's this fear, a long line that when you're practicing fear, you have less courage. When you're practicing resentment, you don't have any love, patience, or tolerance. And he says in here, and I'm just going to read this, our shortcomings, remember, shortcoming is the opposite of God's character. It's what we're short of. I'm short of love, so I'm angry. I'm short of tolerance, so I'm intolerant. I'm short of patience, so I'm impatient. My shortcomings are removed based on what I'm willing to let go of. Now, Grady loves Sandy Beach. He says the whole program is two words, let go. What am I going to let go of? Chuck C. says, what am I going to uncover, discover, and discard right now that's blocking me from God? What else am I wrong about? I want to be wrong. If we let go of fear, courage is going to come into our lives. If I don't practice resentment, I'm going to see love, tolerance, patience, understanding, and goodwill. And you are what we practice. And if you study Scripture, that's really the basic preaching of the New Testament. Practice God's character, be obedient to Him, and your life will change. But you need God's power to help you do it. I tried to do better. Remember my moral and philosophical convictions galore. I can't stay on the right-hand side just by my power. I need God's power. And I have to ask God. Remember it says, we watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. As these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them every day when they crop up. And when these changes come about, we see the power that lies within these forces. And I can do things I could never do before. I can let go of fear. I can have it replaced with trust. I can let go of anger right now. I say the prayers and ask God to remove it, and it's just gone. And that's what they talk about in the big book in the appendix, Spiritual Experience. We've tapped an inner resource of strength. And he says a shortcoming is when you're long on resentments. You're short on love, tolerance, and patience. It's a sliding scale. And I think that we've covered that. And then I want to cover just this chart here. This is on the site too, under self-will versus God's will. If you notice, the self-will has a big black circle around God. And God's will, it's not blocked. And that's going from the world of my alcoholism to the world of the spirit. And so if I block God and I'm living in self, then everything around the circle is conflict. And if I'm in God's will, everything around the circle is harmony. So I can't remember, the speaker said, do I want to live in harmony with God or disharmony with God? That's really my choice every day. Do I want to live in harmony with God, then I get God's harmony with the world. And if I want to live in harmony with myself, I'm not in harmony with God. You can either be in self or God. You can't be in both at the same time. It's a constant battle. And then when you do that, you're blocked in by resentment, fear, shame, and guilt. And then all these other things are negative. And what God wants me to be, what is the role God assigns, and how do I stay close to Him? That's really this circle here. And this is conscious contact, and this is conscious separation. And in self-will, what I want matters. And when I'm in God's will, what God wants for me matters. And remember, what I want doesn't matter. We're supposed to write that everywhere. Put it on our mirror, right? Matt's heard that before. Matt's heard all this. It's good to see Matt and Carl, some of the others. And so that's the deal. Then there's one other one, I think. To go to the last page, it talks about the process of spiritual growth. Anybody want to have spiritual growth? And this is just very simple, and this is out of that book, The Steps We Took. And it just shows the steps, and I'll just read it. Believing is the beginning of each thing that we accomplish in our lives. To be successful, believing must become strong enough to incite a decision, which is a choice of a course of action. So really, when you're taking the third step, you're making a decision to do the rest of the steps. It's not that complicated. Do you want to stay in self or not? And it has to be strong enough to incite action. Once the action becomes strong enough, it brings about results. And once the results are plain and clear, we have faith and you feel better, so you want to continue to do it. Do you feel better when you're working the steps each day or not? Do you feel better when you pray to be free of anger and free of fear? And so the 12 steps are based on this plan. They're the principles that have been around forever. And Joe, in his foreword to the steps he took, he says, we believe that water will freeze at 32 degrees. Everybody believe that? It's a fact. And it's the same thing that if you work the 12 steps, you'll have a spiritual awakening. Just as much as water will freeze at 32 degrees if you work the steps. So step one is willing to change. Step two, believe you can change. Three, decision to change. Step four is you're inventorying the change, see what you don't want to be. And then 5 through 11 are the actions to change, and step 12 is change. Faith is knowledge that comes as a result of a complete process. Remember it says, for successful consummation, we had to level our pride. None of us wanted to do that, to completely consummate that. And that's one of Norm's favorite lines too. So we don't expect faith in step two. And many people fail because they expect true knowledge by faith before they make a decision to take any action and get results. That's why you hear a lot of new people say, well, I turned it over and took it back. And I know what they're saying, but you just make a decision that God's going to be your director, and then you take the actions. And each morning we have to make that same. So the second surrender is when you make the decision that you're not going to play God. And the third surrender is every day, every morning. Anybody pray in the morning regularly and ask God to direct? And then all day long we have to surrender when we're practicing our character. If not, you're going to be disturbed. Remember, if you're disturbed, it's a spiritual axiom that if you're disturbed, no matter what the cause, there's something wrong with you. What's wrong with me? I'm back in self. I'm separated from God. So I talk too long. I always say that. But thanks for listening, and we'll open it up and share. Thank you very much.